We're in Luke chapter 3 and verse 18. Luke chapter 3 and verse 18. This is Carissa's testimony that I found on the internet, and she says this: God had been quietly placing people in my life, seeds of faith that would later bloom in unexpected ways. During graduate school, I found myself surrounded by a few Christians who shared not just their time, but also their authentic faith through simple game nights and conversations. It was during one of these evenings that my curiosity was sparked, not from a crisis of faith or a rock-bottom moment, but from a simple desire to understand the biblical references my friends were making. I came home and had this thought that just kept stirring in my mind for days, and I felt I had to do something. So I finally got a Bible out and started reading, mostly out of curiosity. And then while I was reading, I felt it piercing something deep inside me. Now I realize it is because the Word of God is so powerful. It's not just human words, it's literally God's Word. As I continued to read day after day, I began to wonder, how do people not know about this? How do people not believe this? As I started reading about Jesus and the miracles He performed and the things that He did, I was blown away. I thought to myself, I've been living my whole life without this. In that moment, I decided to give my life to Jesus and accept Him as my Lord and Savior. I remember bawling my eyes out as I prayed, I accept You, Jesus, and I want You in my life, and I want You to lead me. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, the Scripture says. It pierces the heart. You see, the Word of God is supernatural because it comes from God. And it is used by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit's instrument that He uses effectively in the hearts and lives of people comes straight from God. And this Scripture that we have. We need God's Word, and we need to share God's Word with other people. Listen, all around us there are people that are confused. People that are perplexed by life. They don't know the truth of the situation about sin or salvation. They don't know how to live their life in a way that brings the abundance of God in their lives. And they need the gospel so that they can experience that in their lives, and so that they can know Jesus, and so that they can have eternal life, a home in heaven, escape hell. It is so critical that we share the truth. And so John the Baptist does this. He is so faithful. And one of the Greek verbs that's used here is a verb that has the sense of it's ongoing. It's not just a flash in the pan. It's not just something he does one day and forgets about it. This is the regular practice of his life to preach this message of repentance and to prepare the people for Jesus. And so we follow in his footsteps. Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we too have been given a commission to share God's truth, especially the gospel, with people. And so we need to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. The title of my message is Unleashing the Power of God's Truth. Unleashing the power of God's truth. If you'll look with me in Luke chapter 3, verse 18, it says, then, along with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the evil things that he had done, Herod added this to everything else. He locked up John in prison. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." As he began his ministry, Jesus was about 30 years old and was thought to be the son of Joseph, actually the son of Heli through Mary, which we'll talk about here in a moment, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi. And then if you'll look over, I'm not going to read this whole genealogy, look at verse 38. It says, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So, unleashing the power of God's truth. How do we do that? Well, first of all, you need to keep encouraging. Keep encouraging. Look at what he says in verse 18. Then along with many other exhortations or encouragements, he proclaimed these things to them. So he's continuing to encourage. He's continuing to exhort. To exhort has the idea of motivating people to do the right thing. This is what he did. He preached a message of repentance. So he's exhorting people, but he's also encouraging people to take the step of repentance and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we're to keep encouraging people. Now, sometimes in life, we get weary. Have you ever had that? Just the experience of just being utterly weary in your life? I tell you what, it can be for a variety of reasons. I know just in recent days, with the move and everything with Mom, we've been wore out. We have been at the end of ourselves physically. If you know, when you're trying to walk around the house and have a train of thought and you can't think straight, and you know there's something up, and it's you're at the end of yourself, and you need that encouragement. All of us need that at one time or another. And by the way, that is why we have the body of Christ, right? We encourage each other so that when I'm struggling, you encourage me. When you're struggling, I encourage you. And we all are blessed through this fellowship that we have as God's people. And it's a supernatural fellowship. It's something that is enabled by the power of God that is within us. And the Holy Spirit can lead us in being a blessing to other people. Some of you have been a blessing through the things that you have physically done for this church. Others of you have been a blessing through the prayers that you've offered. Others have been a blessing through the words that you have shared. And I'm grateful for the body of Christ. Aren't you glad that we're not in this struggle by ourselves, but we have got a supernatural helper who is there with us, and we've got the body of Christ that he uses to lift us up. I think of Elijah. You remember Elijah in the Old Testament? He was discouraged. He just had this great mountaintop moment at Mount Carmel where he had faced down the prophets of Baal. And God had answered from heaven with fire. They had put the prophets of Baal to death as they did under the old covenant. And he's had this great victory. And then Queen Jezebel sends the message, "I'm going to kill you before this day's out." And she sends her messengers to go find him and take his life. And he flees, and he begins to plunge into a discouragement and into a depression in his life. And the Bible says that God sends the angel of the Lord, which I believe is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, and Jesus cooks him a meal. And he says, "Lie down and rest." He wakes up, and Jesus cooks him another meal. He says, "Lay down and rest." And then God gave him a message. He needed God's encouragement. Guess what? We have an encourager. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is with us in times of trouble. We also have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one who's called alongside us to encourage us in life. And he is so faithful to do it. And as we read the Word of God, he may impress upon our hearts the verse of Scripture, or use a song, or use an encouragement from a believer. But God is about the business of encouraging, and we need to be about the business of encouraging as well. And we need to let people that don't know Jesus know about Jesus. And we need to speak the truth. Listen, if there's ever a time in my life where I've seen a need for the truth in our culture, it's today. There are so many lies out there. You go on the internet, lies are a dime a dozen. There are so many things that people are deceived about, and they need to hear the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So we need to keep encouraging. All right. So unleashing the power of God's truth. How? Keep encouraging. Use the Word of God to encourage others. Secondly, keep sharing. Keep sharing. Look at verse 18. He proclaimed the good news to the people. Now, I like that phrase, good news. By the way, did you know Christianity has a message of good news? Good news. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a sinner, and so are you. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the bad news is that God's standard is perfection. Jesus said, "Be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Talk about setting the bar high. None of us can even come close. But praise God, God didn't leave us to ourselves. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God made a way. Jesus said, "I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus made a way. How? Well, first of all, He lived the perfect life that God required. Praise God. He did it on our behalf. And the Scripture says, God is speaking about God. He says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." That's Jesus. "So that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So Jesus took our sin on the cross and He paid for it. He satisfied the justice of God. He paid the bill, the heavenly bill that we owed to God for our sin, the justice that must be satisfied. He paid it on the cross and said, "It's finished, paid in full." And then He rose again in mighty power. And because of what Jesus has done, when we repent and put our trust in Jesus, God wipes out the record of our sin. He saves us from that sin, gives us a new heart, sends the Holy Spirit to live within us and help us in life. And then He lets us know that because we have put our trust in Jesus, we have a home in heaven and an eternal life that is secure, all because of what Jesus has done. Somebody said all the other religions of the world are do, but Christianity is done because Jesus has done the work for us. That is good news. Praise God. We were singing that song about His mercies are new every morning. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that if you messed up yesterday, you had a clean slate today as a child of God? That's good news. How? Because Jesus' blood already paid for it. Every day is a clean slate for the child of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every time I sin, I can confess to God and not only get a restoration for a fellowship with God, but I also get the help and the work of God to help me be what He wants me to be. That is good news. And it needs to be shared. It needs to be shared. So many people out there think that they have got to measure up in order to get to heaven. They have got to be good enough. And the fact of the matter is, none of us are. And matter of fact, if you want to get really picky about sin, there's so many sins that we've got, we can't even keep track of them. This month! Okay? I want to tell you something. There are so many things that we do, and the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know the wickedness in ourselves sometimes. We're doing things that are displeasing to God, and we don't even know it. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that good news? Praise God, my future doesn't depend on my performance. It depends upon the blood of Jesus Christ and the perfect sacrifice that He made at Calvary's cross. I love to remind the evil one and his forces when they try to come and accuse me of sin. And I'll agree with them about, I'll say, yeah, you're right, I'm not worthy. But guess what? I don't come based on my worthiness. I come based on the perfect righteousness of Jesus. God has clothed me in Jesus' perfect righteousness. Find fault with that if you can. You see, praise God, every time I go to God in prayer, I don't come based on my own worthiness. Every time God gives me some good thing, it's not because I'm worthy of it. Jesus is worthy in my place. That's good news. And it needs to be shared. Keep sharing the good news. You know what I find is really interesting here? John is sharing, and he's going to mention the fact that John ends up in prison. But God's work doesn't stop, and God's purpose goes on. And even after John has been put to death by Herod, even after Jesus has died and rose and ascended, people are still getting saved because of John's ministry. Look at the book of Acts where Paul finds some disciples of John and he explains to them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and they give their hearts to Christ and Paul baptizes them. What an amazing thing. He's dead and gone, but the power of what he shared is still having an impact for Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of sharing God's Word. It is so amazing. All right. So unleashing the power of God's truth. First of all, keep encouraging. Secondly, keep sharing. Thirdly, keep persevering. Keep persevering. Look at verse 19. But John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife. Which, by the way, John is rebuking that there's an adultery here and there's also incest because Herodias is his sister-in-law. Okay, he takes her for himself. John rebukes him and then it says Herod added this to all the other sins. He locked up John in prison. Now, you might think that John would have quit sharing when this took place, but John is still having an impact. And we know this because he sends some messengers to Jesus, said, you're the one to come. And Jesus quotes him Isaiah and sends him a message back, but John is still having conversation with his disciples, even from the prison cell. And so he's not quit. I like what Paul said when he was in prison. He said, I may be in chains, but the Word of God is not in chains. God's purpose and power is still going forward. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. One day, if Jesus tarries, I'll be pushing up daisies. But can I tell you, the power of the gospel will not change. The work of the kingdom will move forward. And others will be saved. And God's purpose will be carried out. Because that's who He is. So we keep persevering. Sometimes there may be limitations. There could be physical limitations. There could be limitations in our circumstance, or you may be like John, you may be in jail. There are actually some pastors in our country who have been arrested for preaching in public places. Yes, right here in the United States of America, persecuted for their faith. But we keep persevering. Well, what if somebody misunderstands? We keep persevering. Well, what if somebody gets mad? We keep persevering. Well, what if somebody doesn't like it? We keep persevering. Because this message that we have is utterly critical. It's the difference between eternal life and eternal death. You see, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If there's hope for our country, it's going to be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's hope for our families, it's going to be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's hope for people in our community, it's going to be because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are living words. Moses said to the children of Israel as he shared God's law with them on Mount Sinai, "These words are your life." How much more so under the new covenant when we have the blessings of Christ and what he's done for us. These words are life. We need to share them. Persevere. I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah in my quiet time, and Jeremiah was imprisoned multiple times. One time, I hadn't got to this point yet, but one time he's thrown in a well, and it's a mostly dried up well, but they're hoping that he'll die in the well. And they just throw him into this well, and he sinks down into the mud, and he's there for days. And finally, somebody hears about it and comes and fishes him out of the well there. And at one point, Jeremiah was saying, look, he said, "I'm discouraged." He says, "I don't want to speak the word of God anymore. All it's gotten me is opposition. All it's gotten me is difficulty." But he said, "But I couldn't help it." He said, "There was a fire in my bones to speak the truth of God's word with other people." And so he says, "I must speak. I must share." And Jeremiah kept persevering. There was a few people that listened to Jeremiah, but most didn't. Can you imagine what a discouraging ministry he must have? How many have responded? How many hundreds have responded to your message, Jeremiah? Well, if you're talking hundreds, no hundreds. A few have followed my advice to go over to Nebuchadnezzar. And despite the fact that prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy has come true, they continue to ignore the word he speaks. How discouraging that must have been for him. But he persevered. Listen, we don't know all the whys and wherefores of why God calls us. I remember reading the testimony of a pastor who, some of you may be familiar with Bob Russell. He pastored the Christian church up in Kentucky for years. But he was sharing, and he said, "Look, this... I've got there was this picture in our notes where, and it was the church that he grew up in. And there was about, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 people outside the front of that church. And they had a church photo taken. And he said, about 2 weeks after this photo was taken, he said, the pastor was run off from this church. And he probably felt like a failure. And he said, but let me tell you who these different individuals are. And he starts going from person to person. One of them was him, of course. But he's, here's me. Here's this person. He's a pastor at such and so. Here's this person. He's a pastor at so and so. Here's this person. She's a missionary and over here. And he's going through all of these different individuals. And about half of them were in full-time Christian service. And he says, look, he says, all of this, that pastor felt like a failure, but he said God had used him and he didn't even know it. You see, it's not our business to figure out all the whys and wherefores for why God calls us to do what he calls us to do. It's our responsibility to persevere and to do what God has told us to do. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. The real reward is not in what happens in this world anyway. One day our Savior is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He's got rewards for us, doesn't he? And what a day that's going to be. And so we persevere and we look forward in hope to what God has promised us, knowing that God will reward faithful service to Him. So unleashing the power of God's truth. Keep encouraging, keep sharing, keep persevering, keep trusting. Now, it kind of goes backwards here in verse 21 when it gives the account of Jesus' baptism. John is still ministering at this point. He's not yet in prison. But Jesus comes and is baptized. And there's some evidence of who Jesus is here. Because first of all, it says heaven opened. A book I read this week pointed out the fact that this occurs a number of times in Scripture. And I was going through, and there's always very significant events when God intervenes in the affairs of men. But heaven opened when Jesus prayed. Now, we may talk about, well, yeah, God opened heaven at this revival, or God opened, but this time, heaven literally opened. And God is saying, this is the special one I prophesied. This is the special one I foretold about. And His name is Jesus. And so heaven opens. Then the Spirit gives His testimony, right? The Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. John gets to see this. The Spirit comes upon Jesus. What is the Spirit saying? This is the special anointed one prophesied in Isaiah 11. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of power and so forth are upon Him to carry out the Lord's word. Then we have the testimony of the Father. By the way, all three persons of the Trinity right here. The Father speaks from heaven. He says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is My unique Son." So we're called to trust. Keep trusting Jesus. God's given us a whole lot of evidence about Jesus, right? We're talking here about supernatural evidence from heaven. We mentioned a while back about the angelic testimony about Jesus, about the testimony of Elizabeth, and as she's filled with the Spirit and begins to speak about this child in her relative's womb. So we've got these testimonies. And then if you look in verse 23, it says, Jesus, when He began His ministry, was about 30 years old, which, by the way, was the time where priests were qualified to serve under Old Testament law. And He was thought to be the son of Joseph. Now, the Greek text is in a little different order here. And the early church took this to be the genealogy of Mary's father. Okay? So that Matthew's genealogy is a legal genealogy through Joseph, because Joseph is Jesus' adoptive father, as He names him. He accepts him as His own, and he literally becomes someone who's in the line of Israelite kings through this adoption. And it comes through David's son Solomon. This genealogy comes through David's son Nathan. Chronicles talks about Nathan, and there's other places that talk about Nathan as being one of the sons of David. And if you look in verse 31, you'll see the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, and so forth. So this is the genealogy, I believe, through Mary. But you could read this way. Being a son, in parentheses, as it was thought of Joseph, end of parentheses, the one of Heli. Each of these, this is kind of an unusual genealogy. In Greek, there's an article before every name that comes in this genealogy, but there's no article in front of Joseph. Why? Because he was thought to be, which by the way, that word thought means they were uncertain about it. So he was thought to be the father of Jesus. Why? Because there was a virgin birth. They didn't know who the father was. God supernaturally caused Mary to be pregnant. The Holy Spirit of God hovered over her like a hovering at creation. And this baby was created in her womb so that Jesus is the Son of Mary, but He's also the divine Son of God. So it literally, this genealogy points past Joseph, who was just thought or supposed to be the father, to those of his literal physical descent. And it goes all the way back, by the way, past Abraham. So, it's, by the way, it's not just for the Jews. Jesus is not just for the Jews. Paul said what? To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? But it goes all the way back to verse 38. The son of Adam. By the way, there's a new Adam in town and his name is Jesus Christ. He's come to fix what Adam broke. Adam sinned, Jesus is going to be righteous. Adam failed, Jesus will be victorious. Adam lost what God intended, Jesus will restore it. But he's also the Son of God. Adam's the Son of God in a special way because he had no human parents. He was created by God. So Jesus is a special son of God. He has a human mother, but he's got he's got a human mother, but he's got a heavenly father. And so he is a special son of God. And so Luke in his genealogy is just saying, remember the virgin birth? And by the way, in case you're wondering, he's not just a legal heir of David. He's also a physical heir of David. According to the promise that God made that one of David's descendants would sit upon the throne of Israel. And he's also Abraham's descendant, fulfilling the promise of God that through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So we are called to keep trusting Jesus. Listen, there's a lot of religious options in the world, but there's only one person who can do you any good for your eternal life, and that's Jesus. And so what you have here, you have the historical testimony of this genealogy that points back to Jesus' physical lineage. You also have the divine testimony of God Himself, who opens up heaven for him, who sends the Holy Spirit, and He says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." By the way, I don't know of any other religious individual that's ever happened for. So John is part of all this. And by the way, did you know that what happened to John didn't change a thing about who Jesus was, about God's purpose, about salvation through Jesus Christ and the promises of God? The promises of God remained despite the fact that John was in prison. The purpose of God could not be thwarted. Jesus is who Jesus is, and that's why we have hope. Hopefully your hope is not in me. I'm trying to do the best I can, but listen, I'm going to tell you something. You need something a whole lot more than me. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. He is the one who is our hope. And with all that happens in the world, with all listen, today and yesterday, and we don't know what's coming tomorrow, but Jesus will always be who He is. So we're called to keep trusting Him and to stubbornly persevere in faith, fulfilling the will and the plan of God. And that helps us unleash the power of God's truth. Listen, our Christians and brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters around the world have been doing this. Some of them have been persecuted for their faith, and they continue to preach the gospel. Families are broken up. Torture. I read this account in the Sudan of this man who was so badly burned by the Muslim invaders who came in and destroyed their village. They had set him afire, poured gas on him and set him afire. And Jesus Christ got a hold of his life, and he had a faith. This life is not all there is. There's coming a day when I'm going to be rid of the scars and the infirmity of my body, and I'm going to be restored. In the meantime, I'm going to keep serving Jesus Christ. Listen, we're called to be persevering in sharing this truth with others. Let's do it to the glory of God. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the amazing gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the price that He paid at Calvary, Lord. Thank You that Jesus is enough to cover our sin, to give us heaven. And Lord, we ask that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus, that today would be the day they would surrender their lives to Jesus and receive His gift of eternal life in simple trust. And Lord, I pray that You give them the courage to step out and make that public. And maybe there's somebody who needs to follow the Lord in believer's baptism as a step of obedience.